With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. This week, we'll be talking trees. Steph Dunn-James returns to the podcast to tell us about the increase in tree production and sales at Frank P. Matthews Nursery in Tenbury Wells. They grow over 500,000 fruit and ornamental trees every year. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and of course, my producer, Charlie Jones. This week, we're at the Chelsea Flower Show. Quite honestly, my eyes are set on the bank holiday Sunday, and hopefully, 12 hours sleep. Boy, that Chelsea's a killer. You know, when the show opens, it's from 8 till 8, 12-hour days, and that doesn't allow for actually getting on site and off again. And of course, it's such a busy time. Gardens really suffer for those of us that take a fortnight or 3 weeks out to be at the Chelsea Flower Show. And so on the Sunday, and even more so the Monday, if I am well rested, there's so much to do. Highest priority for me is to sow some zinnias where they're going to grow and flower. That's such a useful plant. It'll provide bunch after bunch of cut flowers, well, pretty well from July to the frost. I should have had mine sown last week, but just didn't get it done. And the cordon sweet peas, you know, they all need tying. With the warmer weather, they're really growing. And for those of us that have got cucumbers, aubergines, peppers and tomatoes in cold greenhouses, then you need to keep a real sharp eye out for a whitefly. It can be a real pest. I found it quite difficult to control last year, and somebody suggested that I grew a few plants of the smoking tobacco and used them as kamikaze subjects. You know, when the whitefly went to the smoking tobacco and really got settled, you pulled the whole lot up and scrapped it. Well, I haven't got me smoking tobacco sown, I'm afraid, but I might try a few extra aubergines because they tend to attract those insect pests pretty well. It's probably the first place you should look for an infestation of either whitefly or any of the aphids. My guests this week, a return visit, and I welcome Stephanie Dunn-James from the Frank P. Matthews Nursery, way over in the West Country. Steph, how are things in Tenbury Wells today?
Hi, Peter. Yes, it's a lovely sunny day, so we are very lucky today. A little bit late with spring this year, as everyone knows, but we've got some wonderful things in blossom on the nursery, so things are looking good. Thank you.
And where would you be, do you think? Are you 2 weeks late? I cut my first sweet pea today, and normally I would have at least a bunch by this time, you know, for Chelsea next week. So some things are late and some things are early. I mean, the Van Esseltine Malus in my front garden, that's over.
Yes, it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? Two or three possibly weeks late, but then everything's kind of coming at once at the same time now. Now we've got some decent temperatures, so an interesting season for sure.
Yeah. But I read that you're going to increase production by 20%. Is that right?
That's it, yes. We've increased production by about 50,000 trees in the next, well, we will do in the next 12 months, about 24,000 available from this August in addition to what we're doing already, and then a similar amount the following year.
Is that very brave? I mean, because, I mean, it takes, 3 to 5 years to grow a tree, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So this increase is kind of a long time coming, really. And really, it's to satisfy demand. We are seeing an increased interest in our trees and have done for the last few years. Our brand is kind of attracting quite a following, really. Garden centres tell us that we're being listed, well, us listing them on stock lists on our website brings them a lot of extra customers, and we've also seen growth through mail order that we supply mail order companies and also commercial fruit growers. So, yeah, it's exciting stuff. Yeah,
it is. And if I was out as a listener here today or in subsequent days on a garden centre looking for your trees, you have a particularly branded label, don't you? Quite a big label. So what do they look for a Matthews British grown top quality tree?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you've recognised the label, because we try and make it quite eye-catching if we can, and pop the logo on there quite big along with a little British symbol. So I think labelling is quite important when you're going around a garden centre. You know, trees can be quite a complex subject if you don't know much about them, and we try and put as much information on those labels as possible, so people can see where these trees are good for, which sites, and nice pictures, colour pictures. If it's in the winter, you're looking for a tree, so you can see what the tree looks like in the summer. So just to kind of to help people as much as possible when they're choosing a tree.
Yes, and the logo, is that Trees for Life?
Yes, we've got both our name, Frank Matthews and Trees for Life, on our logo. Some people know us as Frank Matthews, and then the brand is Tree for Life. So we try and make it, put it as big as we can on that label so that people can easily recognise it. Yeah.
I've just had in the post today from Garden Trade News that last weekend, the bank holiday weekend, was phenomenal. The best trading weekend ever, pretty well, I think, with sales 60% and more up. I mean, have you seen that kind of response in demand for trees?
Absolutely, yes. Last weekend, as well as being a bank holiday, of course, the weather was fantastic, and that is so important in the garden industry, in garden centres. People want to be in their gardens, and yes, everyone had quite a busy weekend selling trees lots of other kind of horticultural products as well, I think.
Yeah, I was interested to hear that when the weather's rough, people spend quite a lot of time in the coffee shop. But last weekend, they came in, got what they wanted, and went home to garden. So what's good for plants is not so good for the coffee shop, apparently.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Now, you always have new trees, new plants introduced each year, and we're working with you with this exciting new Malus. Tell us about that.
Yes, it is exciting. It's called Malus Aros. And it'll be in your garden at Chelsea, of course, and entered into the new plant awards. And it is a lovely tree. It's great for almost all year-round interest in any site or situation, really. So in the spring, it's got vibrant dark pink flowers, which have got a nice little white centre. They're great for attracting bees and butterflies. And then throughout the summer, the leaves are really big and dark purple and nice and shiny, so really attractive foliage. And the leaves turn a nice dark red, orangey colour in the autumn, and there are also some little red crab apples on the tree in the autumn as well. So it's great for like a natural bird, acting as a natural bird feeder. One of the most important things about it is its compact and upright habit. So it can really be planted in even the smallest of gardens, patios, or even balconies. So a tree for everyone, really.
Now you have to sing its praises, and you sound as if you're well practiced on Monday if it makes the RHS selection for the Chelsea Flower Show Plant of the Year. How on earth can you get that into 90 seconds, your description?
It's going to be very difficult, yes. It's such a great tree, and there's so many different features of it that I will be, hard pushed to get it all into 90 seconds, but I'll try not to rush and just be concise, I think, concise as possible.
Now, what else have we got coming along? I mean, the Malus got an award at the Trade a plant show last summer, didn't it?
It did. It won best in show, or best new introduction, sorry. Yep. So, at the National Plant Show last year. Yep.
And so have you got something else for this year?
Yeah, this year we're putting in two plants, a laburnum and also an apple called Eden, which is quite special. It's
Is Eve going to launch that?
Good one. Well, we're hoping the name's pretty good as well, so that hopefully will attract people.
We certainly won't forget it, will we?
No, well, that's the idea. But it's a very special apple, so it's a dual purpose, so you can use it for eating and cooking, and it's non-browning, so which is really handy when you're doing apple for in salads, or even just eating an apple or cooking with it. And it's also sweet, so it behaves like a Bramley, but as we all know with Bramley, you have to add quite a lot of sugar, or some people do, to make it taste as sweet as some people like. But you don't have to add any extra sugar with this apple, so it's very versatile. Fingers crossed again.
Yeah, Steph, it's quite interesting because I thought it was the sugar that turned the cut surface brown.
Well, it can be, but I think there's some proof now that also it's the vitamin C level. So if apples with high levels of vitamin C mean they don't go brown so quickly, and this one has very high levels, so it's really good for your tea.
Oh, yes, I got a health kick to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now laburnum. I mean, we haven't heard much of laburnum, and I was thinking only this week, going for a walk in our local suburbs, the laburnums are looking fantastic, aren't they?
They are. We've hit just the right week for them this week. Yeah. And this new laburnum that we've got coming on towards the end of the summer is an upright form of the tree we all love so much. So again, like Aros, we're seeing the need for more kind of compact trees with them. Everyone's the general size of gardens is decreasing, as we know, and so it could be a real special one, that one as well. Yeah.
Is it named yet?
It is. It's called Yellow Rocket.
Oh, there's another good name.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. The growth upright and all the flowers dangling down.
I know. Yeah. Quite a beautiful sight, really. And it sets less seeds than a normal laburnum as well. And of course, laburnum seeds are poisonous. So although we can't say it sets no seeds, it certainly sets less, which I guess reduces any risk there is there.
Yeah, it's timely to warn people. Yeah. Because the ordinary laburnum vossi can set quite a bit of seed, can't it?
It can, yeah, absolutely.
And they're attractive, shiny black things, yeah.
Yeah.
Steph, absolutely fascinating news. Very much hope to see you at Chelsea.
Yes.
And wish you every success, both with Aros this year and with your two new trees later in the summer.
Oh, thank you so much, Peter. Thank you.
What's on? Well, it's the National Children's Gardening Week from the 26th of May, and a lot of garden centres are putting on special activities for the youngsters. I think most of them are sort of featuring on a pot and getting the youngsters to plant either something edible or something pretty in the pot, take it home and grow it. You know, kids love to get their hands dirty, and they like success, something which grows quick. If you want to do something at home, then just a few carrot seeds sown in a pot. They should be up in 10 days or less. And most children like to eat a nice soft carrot. I remember recommending this about 3 years or so ago, perhaps more years ago. And in the autumn, a lady wrote to say that her six-year-old daughter wouldn't eat any vegetables. And she took our advice and they sowed a pot of carrots together. And when they got to a reasonable size, they pulled one and the little girl ate it. And then every tea time she said, "Mum, can I go and pull another carrot?" And they wanted to know what else they could grow. And there's quite a lot of things you can grow. At this time of the year, a pea called Terrain. It resists mildew, so it's a good one to sow late. And that's quite a nice one. You know, wherever we go, it's gardener's question time. And at the railway station, buying my ticket today, the lady wanted to know how to stop her one-year-old cat from scratching plants out of her containers. and hooking frogs and newts out of the pond. Well, I could tell you, if it's nice, damp, soft compost, chances are the cat thinks that's a rather nice toilet. And I wonder if you put a toilet tray out somewhere which is protected overhead from the rain, the cat might be persuaded to go there rather than hooking up your plants. Otherwise, I'm afraid net's the answer. You've got to net both the top of the containers, possibly plant through the net, and again on the pond. The only way you can stop them, cats hooking these things out, is to put a net there so that they can't get their paws in. There we are. Cats and gardening don't always mix very well. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.